CBS News, this is Mitchell Krause. The death toll from the Beirut explosions continues to grow as the nation awaits a statement in a few moments from President Reagan. The Pentagon now says 183 Americans were killed in the terrorist bombing yesterday, with at least 85 others wounded, and three are still about 50 Marines and sailors unaccounted for. They are presumed buried in the debris and dead. At the French compound, there's an unofficial count of more than 40 dead and dozens wounded or missing. French President François Mitterrand saw it all firsthand today, as Larry Pintak reports.
The French president came to view firsthand the outrage against his men. Surrounded by a wall of security, Mitterrand went to the site of the devastated French barracks after a brief meeting with Lebanese President Amine Gemayel. He consoled members of a Lebanese family who also lost loved ones in the blast and urged on the rescue workers. They needed no prompting. The groans of injured men are still being heard from under the rubble. At the site of the American tragedy, which Mitterrand briefly drove past, rescue workers have virtually lost hope they'll find anyone alive. Their exhausted commander says the misery could drag on for many days. There are probably 50 more bodies down there. Like the rest of the Marines, they are men who are scheduled to go home in just a few weeks. Larry Pintak, CBS News, Beirut.
The Pentagon says that so far only a score of families have been notified of the death of a son or husband, and no names have yet been made public. As for the American wounded, New Hampshire Senator Gordon Humphrey, who was aboard the aircraft carrier Iwo Jima as they were being evacuated yesterday, says the best care is being dispensed.
Most were coherent. Those who weren't, perhaps, were given more morphine than the others. Most had been given a shot of morphine, I think. None of them were addressed the situation. They were just expressing amazement at being alive.
The growing controversy over the U.S. presence in Lebanon after this.
Great shot, Alice. Have you ever improved since you put in this new tennis court?
Well, it's just...
What a workout. Thanks for a great set.
Well, don't thank me. Thank Payne Weber.
Payne Weber? They give tennis lessons?
No, Nancy.
Tennis courts?
In this highly competitive financial world, Payne Weber believes the quality of life just might depend upon the quality of your investments.
Your advantage, Alice!
I know. Thank you, Payne Weber.
It hit me one day. I spend all this money on good clothes to look my best, but my teeth looked awful. They were an ugly yellow from smoking, so I decided to try Topol.
Topol Smoker's Tooth Polish. A combination of polishing agents and a rich foaming cleanser, especially formulated to help remove ugly yellow tobacco stains. Yet laboratory research has proven Topol cleans gently enough to be used every day instead of regular toothpaste.
Topol really works. It made my tobacco stained teeth bright again.
Topol Smoker's Tooth Polish.
President Reagan, who's about to speak to a group of visiting journalists at the White House, his statement will be carried live on this CBS radio network station, said through his spokesman today that he is unshaken in his determination to keep the Marines in Lebanon as a shield against Soviet or Syrian domination of the Middle East. But as Congress begins to review the U.S. role, the debate is becoming more intense. Virginia Republican John Warner supports the president.
What we should avoid at this moment is any quick reaction one way or another. Let's just stand tall and stand firm behind the president.
House Speaker Thomas O'Neill said it would be a victory for the Russians if U.S. forces were pulled out now, but Missouri Democrat Thomas Eagleson disagrees.
I think that the president would be well advised to begin such plans as are necessary for the orderly extrication of our troops from Beirut. That doesn't mean 24 or 48 hours, but over a reasonable period of time with due notice to the Jamal government.
Senate Majority Leader Howard Baker says he intends to keep his mouth shut on the issue for now and to keep it from becoming a political football. Now this.
Before you choose a flea and tick collar for your dog or cat, remember, only Hearts gives you a choice. The famous Hearts 2-in-1 Plus Reflecting Collar for nighttime safety and full-time flea and tick protection, or the original Hearts 2-in-1 Collar just for killing fleas and ticks. The Hearts 2-in-1 Collar kills fleas and ticks anywhere on your dog or cat, even if it gets wet. Saves you money, too. So choose the Hearts Flea and Tick Collar that suits your pet best. The Hearts 2-in-1 Plus Reflecting Collar, or the Hearts 2-in-1 Collar in the white box with a bullseye.
Since hiring a professional exterminator can be costly, Get rid of annoying bugs and rodents yourself with quality Decon products from True Value Hardware Stores. Hi, Pat Summerall to suggest you keep rodents away with Decon Rat and Mice Killer in ready-mixed or pellet formula. Get a one-pound box for just $2.29. Then eliminate roaches with a Decon 4-Gone Automatic Room Fogger, only $5.99 for 2 7.5-ounce cans at participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers, where you'll find values in every department.
General Motors has reported a 471% increase in its profits for the months of July, August, and September compared to the same period a year ago. Earnings of $737 million make it the best third quarter in GM's history. But on Wall Street, partially in reaction to the Beirut disaster, the stock market was down now 8.64 on the Dow Jones Industrial Average on a volume of 47 million shares. In a moment, President Reagan is expected to address a group of journalists at the White House. The statement to be carried on this CBS network station. Mitchell Krause, CBS News.
The president had scheduled this White House meeting with the broadcast group before the terrorist bombing.
And given what has happened in Lebanon, I've put aside the remarks that I was prepared to give here today, and I'd like to read you this statement. Yesterday's acts of terrorism in Beirut, which killed so many young American and French servicemen, were a horrifying reminder of the type of enemy that we face in many critical areas of the world today. Vicious, cowardly, and ruthless. Words can never convey the depth of compassion that we feel for those brave men and for their loved ones. Many Americans are wondering why we must keep our forces in Lebanon. Well, the reason they must stay there until the situation is under control is quite clear. We have vital interests in Lebanon, and our actions in Lebanon are in the cause of world peace. With our allies, England, France, and Italy, we're part of a multinational peacekeeping force seeking a withdrawal of all foreign forces from Lebanon and from the Beirut area, while a new Lebanese government undertakes to restore sovereignty throughout that country. By promoting peace in Lebanon, we strengthen the forces for peace throughout the Middle East. This is not a Republican or a Democratic goal, but one that all Americans share. Peace in Lebanon is key to the region's stability now and in the future. To the extent that the prospect for future stability is heavily influenced by the presence of our forces, it is central to our credibility on a global scale. We must not allow international criminals and thugs such as these to undermine the peace in Lebanon. The struggle for peace is indivisible. We cannot pick and choose where we will support freedom. We can only determine how. If it's lost in one place, all of us lose. If others feel confident that they can intimidate us and our allies in Lebanon, they will become more bold elsewhere. If Lebanon ends up under the tyranny of forces hostile to the West, not only will our strategic position in the Eastern Mediterranean be threatened, but also the stability of the entire Middle East, including the vast resource areas of the Arabian Peninsula. In conjunction with our multinational force partners, we're taking measures to strengthen the capabilities of our forces to defend themselves. The United States will not be intimidated by terrorists. We have strong circumstantial evidence linking the perpetrators of this latest atrocity to others that have occurred against us in the recent past, including the bombing of our embassy in Beirut last April. Every effort will be made to find the criminals responsible for this act of terrorism so this despicable act will not go unpunished. And now I know you have some questions.
Next 2 years in Los Angeles. What are the options? Do we increase the number of troops in Lebanon? Do we withdraw the troops in Lebanon? What do you consider the options to be?
The option that we cannot consider is withdrawing while their mission still remains. And they do have a mission, contrary to what some people have intimated in the last 24 hours or so. And it is tied in with the effort that we launched more than a year ago to try and bring peace to the total area of the Middle East because of its strategic importance to the whole free world, not just the United States. I couldn't give you a time on this. The options are, well, I have sent as of this morning, General Kelly, the commandant of the Marine Corps, is on his way to Lebanon to review again what we can do with regard to improving the defensive measures, the safety measures for the Marines who are stationed there. And we're looking at every possible option in that regard. But the mission remains, and it remains as yet unfulfilled, although there's been tremendous success so far. I'll take the gentleman, and then I'll take you.
President Bill Applegate from WLS in Chicago, you discussed the diplomatic mission, but what specifically is the military mission for the Marines?
Well, you have to go back a little bit in memory on the situation there in the Middle East. We know, of course, our country since 1948 has been pledged to the continued existence and the security of Israel. And we've had these numerous wars between the Arab states and Israel, with a number of the Arab states, or virtually all of them, refusing to accept the existence of Israel as a nation. We have, back over the years, as witnessed more recently the previous administration of the Camp David Accords. So what we submitted was the idea of us continuing to help, as we did at Camp David, in furthering that process, bringing more nations into the kind of peaceful arrangement that occurred between Egypt and Israel, producing more Egypts, if you will. At the same time, however, and for a number of years now, Lebanon has been torn up, torn with strife. They've had factions, and from just factions and kind of rioting situations, they've developed over the years to where a kind of warlords set up with their own military forces. So we recognize that before we could proceed with the peace plan, remember that when we started this, Israel had been forced to cross its own border, was shelling Beirut. The PLO militias inside Beirut were shelling back. The casualties were hundreds of civilians every day, dying and being grievously wounded. So we recognized that what we had to resolve first was this issue, to get Syria, which had crossed from the other border, get Syria, get Israel, get the PLO organization out of Lebanon, and then to have a stabilizing force while a government could be established in Lebanon, and their military could then acquire the capability necessary to reinstituting their control over their own borders. And this was why the multinational force went in, to provide that stability so that when the Lebanese forces moved out, as the other forces, the Israelis and the Syrians, left, there could be a maintenance of order behind them. Now, that mission remains, except that, and it did have measures of great success. Some 5,000 of the organized PLO militias, as you remember, were shipped out of Lebanon. Some of those, we fear, have been infiltrated back in, mainly by way of Syria now. But that was accomplished. A government was established. We have helped very definitely with the training of the Lebanese army, and they proved the quality of that training recently in the fighting in the hills and around Souk El Garb, and we think that they don't have the size yet to where they could take over, let's say, the policing of that area and of the airport, and still have enough manpower to go out and restore order as they're supposed to. So that mission remains. And as of now, they have finally agreed upon a date and a place for a meeting in which the government of Lebanon is going to try and bring in representatives of the hostile factions within Lebanon to broaden the base of the government. So we think that the goal is worthy. And we think that great progress has been made that would not have been made if it were not for the multinational force. Now, I said you and...
Mr. President, Susan Hutchison, Cairo TV in Seattle. I'm a journalist, but I'm also the wife of a U.S. Marine Corps captain. And as such, I'm personally grieved over the loss of life. I am wondering what message you can give to Americans who are frustrated with the loss of life in a region that historically has not known peace, and many think will never know peace, and yet our men are over there as peacekeepers.
I wish there were an instant answer here that would resolve all your concerns, and you didn't tell me about that when we were having lunch here. I understand your concern. I understand all Americans' concern, and I have to say that I don't know of anything that is worse in the job I have than having to make the calls that I have made as a result of these snipings that have taken place in the past. I wish it could be without hazard, but the alternative is to look at this region, which, as I say, is vital. Our allies in Western Europe, the Japanese, it would be a disaster if a force took over the Middle East, and a force is ready to do that, as witness what has taken place in Yemen, in Ethiopia, and now the forces that, some several thousand that are there in Syria. The free world cannot stand by and see that happen. Yes, this has been an area torn by strife over the centuries, and yet, not too many years ago, before the kind of breakup, Lebanon was a very prosperous, peaceful nation that was kind of known as the gateway to the east. And we believe it can be again. No country was more at war with Israel than Egypt. And yet we saw Egypt and Israel come to a peace treaty, and Israel give up the Sinai and so forth that it had conquered in war. We have to believe that this we must strive for, because the alternative could be disaster for all of our world. Yes, way back there. I've been staying up front too much here.
Fred, I'm Rollin Pauls, KRON in San Francisco.
And?
I want to ask you, you have addressed it now several times, the issue that we cannot get out of the Middle East. But would you address the other argument, that if you're not going to get out, then let's just not put Marines back in to replace those who have been killed and wounded to do exactly the same thing in the same place. But if you're going to do a job, go into Lebanon and do it with some real force, which is another argument that has been raised.
But you see what that entails, and that is the difficult thing. We would then be engaged in the combat. We would be the combat force. We would be fighting against Arab states. And that is not the road to peace. We're still thinking in terms of that long-range peace. Lebanon must be resolved, and resolved within itself its own problems. Then, and incidentally, not much attention has been paid to the diplomatic process that's been going on for all of this time and before, round the clock. And we now are seeking a replacement for Ambassador McFarlane, who's with us here today, who is now National Security Advisor, but someone to replace him. But he could tell you of, and I used to sit here feeling guilty, hearing his schedule of from Damascus to Beirut to Tel Aviv, back, and hours and hours of meetings. But they have all led to this present ceasefire, to this government that is now in Lebanon, and to the effort to enlarge that government. So we're keeping on with that process. But with the present mission of the multinational force, and remember there are four nations involved there, enlarging their forces, if it would help with the mission they're performing, would be one thing. But to join into the combat and become a part of the combative force, actually, all we would really be doing would be increasing the number of targets. And and risking really the start of overall conflict and world war. No, our mission, I think, makes sense. I think it has proven itself so far. The tragedy is coming not really from the warring forces. It is coming from little bands of individuals, literally criminal-minded, who now see in the disorder that's going on an opportunity to do what they want to do. And we're going to make every effort we can to minimize the risk, but also to find those responsible. Yes?
Lily Ford is downtown, Green, Corpus Christi, Texas. I'd like to know what exactly is underway now, what efforts are underway to identify the casualties and those missing, and how are the relatives being notified about this?
You have touched upon what is a heartbreaking part of this particular incident. That was the headquarters building. There were more than 200 men sleeping in that building when this occurred. The records, the personnel records, are either destroyed or buried someplace beneath all that rubble. And because they were sleeping, many of the men were not wearing their dog tags. And the delay in notification of the families, and it must be a terrible, cruel additional punishment for these people who wait in suspense. And we have no answers until we're doing everything, or the Marines are, that they can to identify, and when they can get actual identification, such as bodies that did have dog tags, or where comrades can recognize and identify, to notify the individual families. But it's a long and tragic story because of the loss of the records.
Mr. President, I'm Ray Rosenblum with WBRJ in Marietta, Ohio, and I want to congratulate you on paying attention to the news media outside of Washington. Regarding the economy, I'd like to ask, if you were an investor, would you invest today in the U.S. stock market, and do you think it will continue to grow?
Yes, I do, and I can't because I have a secret trust on account of I'm not supposed to know what I have anymore. So I can't buy anything like that. But yes, I think this recovery is solid, and I think that it is based on something that we've never had in any of the previous recessions. There have been about 8 since World War II, and every one of them prior to this was treated with a quick fix, an artificial stimulant by government spending and money supply and so forth. And if you look back at the history of them, every one of them was followed within a matter of 2 or 3 years by another one. And each time inflation was higher and unemployment was greater than before. But this one, we have brought inflation, as you've probably been told in the briefings already, down from 2 years of double digit and even figures as high as 17%. To where for the last 12 months, it has been 2.6%, which is the lowest 12-month average in 17 years. And I think that what we're seeing there in the stock market, it flurries a little bit, goes up, but then every once in a while there's some profit taking and it drops a few points. But I think one figure that's been ignored, and maybe all of you can treat with it, just a week or so ago, it was announced that we were up now to more than 78% of our industrial capacity is now at work. We were way down, far below that, to where there was just unused industrial capacity because there wasn't any demand for the product. But this is getting practically up to prosperous times to have that much of our capacity used.
One more question, Mr. President.
I can't ignore that. That look. You.
Gene Anderson from Pink Television in Seattle. You said that General Kelly is on his way to the Middle East and will recommend more safety measures. If he recommends more troops to send in, will you do that? And what other safety measures are you considering?
Well, if this were recommended on the basis that their mission, as I say, could be furthered by some difference in the size of the mission, I would certainly take seriously the recommendation of the man who's the commandant of the entire Marine Corps. There are a number of other things to look at, options that have been presented. We know, for example, that we have to follow or find a new headquarters, an operational post for the headquarters, because that was totally destroyed. One of the options being considered is, could part of the support services of that kind be stationed on one of our ships that are offshore there, one of our naval vessels? more improvements in the actual defensive structure. And I can give you the best reason in the world why I've got to leave. The president of Togo is due in my office in just about 3 minutes, and I should be there before he gets there to say hello to him. But your remarks about treating with the regional press, believe me, it is a great pleasure, and I wish there were... I'm going to tell them that next time they got to schedule any luncheons like this for about a half an hour extra, or give me some free time following it so that I can run over if I want to, because you do ask questions, and I learn as much from your questions as maybe more than you learn from my answers. And it's been a great pleasure to have all of you here. And God bless you all, and thank you for coming.
President Reagan has been meeting with a group of out-of-town broadcasters in the White House, answering their questions. This meeting was scheduled before the terrorist bombing in Beirut that has now, by latest count, killed 183 U.S. Marines and sailors. At least 75 Americans have been seriously hurt and airlifted to military hospitals. Among the questions asked of the president, why are U.S. Marines and other U.S. servicemen there in Beirut? And he insisted that the United States has vital interests in the Middle East, in the cause of world peace, that he is seeking the withdrawal of all foreign forces in Lebanon, that peace in Lebanon is one of the keys to stability in the future on an international scale, the president said. We cannot choose where we will support freedom. He was asked at one point, what are the options that he is considering, and he made it clear that he does not intend to pull U.S. Marines out of the Beirut area, but he did not tick off the number of options that has been discussed, that have been discussed at the White House over the past 2 days. The president insists there has been progress under the aegis of the multinational force, saying that a government of Lebanon has been established, that the Lebanese army is being trained, and the president insists that he sees possibilities, positive possibilities, in future talks aimed at broadening the base of the Lebanese government. The president did at one point say that, at least he indicated, he sees no increase coming in the size of the Marine force in Beirut. He insisted also that, in his words, their mission makes sense. In answer to another question, he said a heartbreaking part of this story is that the identification of those killed in Beirut is proceeding very slowly and with great difficulty because the records were destroyed, buried beneath the rubble of the headquarters building. Many of the Marines were asleep and not wearing dog tags, and therefore no family has yet been notified. And so in summary, the president, in answer to questions at the White House addressed to him by a group of out-of-town broadcasters, drew the following: that so far the president has indicated the U.S. Marines will remain in Lebanon. Beyond that, he has delayed announcing other important decisions regarding the Marines' mission and how they will better defend themselves against future attack. This has been a CBS News special report. I'm James McManus, CBS News.
CBS News, I'm Douglas Edwards. The mission remains, and it remains unfulfilled. President Reagan's words to a meeting of out-of-town journalists at the White House. Deborah Potter reports that yesterday's devastating bombings of American and French command posts in Lebanon has not changed the president's policy.
The president blamed the bombing in Beirut on international criminals and thugs, suggesting a link not only with Iran, but with the Soviet Union. In his words, it would be a disaster if such a force took over the Middle East, and Mr. Reagan made it clear the U.S. will not withdraw.
By promoting peace in Lebanon, we strengthen the forces for peace throughout the Middle East. This is not a Republican or a Democratic goal, but one that all Americans share. Peace in Lebanon is key to the region's stability now and in the future.
But in an appearance before regional broadcasters at the White House, the president rejected calls to respond with force, saying it would involve combat against Arab states, and in his words, that is not the road to peace. Mr. Reagan is to consult today with the leaders of the other multinational force countries, and there's talk of a meeting at the foreign minister level to decide on possible diplomatic moves. Deborah Potter, CBS News, the White House.
The State Department says Secretary of State George Shultz may travel to Europe in a few days for a meeting of ministers from nations with peacekeeping forces in Beirut. Marines combing the rubble of what was their headquarters have all but given up hope of finding more survivors. Some 50 servicemen are still missing and presumed buried under the chunks of concrete and steel. The official American casualty toll stands now at 183 dead, 75 wounded. French losses are listed unofficially at more than 40 dead and an equal number wounded. Republican and Democratic congressional leaders today urge their colleagues not to make the carnage in Lebanon a political issue. Senate Majority Leader Howard Baker said his mouth will remain shut for the time being. Democratic House Speaker Thomas O'Neill and House Majority Leader urged bipartisan support for President Reagan's Lebanon policy. Now this.
Today when you're on business, it's clear as it can be. In city after city, there's a better place to be.
Now Holiday Inn is a better place to be.
Rooms are better.
Much, much better.
Meetings are better.
Restaurants are better.
Nightlife's better.
Everything's better.
Holiday Inn is a better place to be.
When business travelers are asked which hotels they prefer, they rate Holiday Inn hotels over all major hotel chains. In fact, they choose us 3-1 over our nearest competition. They prefer our convenient locations. They also admire our technological innovations like video conferencing. They enjoy our comfortable rooms, our terrific food, and lively nightlife. It's no wonder business travelers rate us 1.
We're 1, your worldwide host. First with what you want the most. Holiday Inn is a better place.
Much better.
A better place.
For reservations, call 800-HOLIDAY.
Holiday Inn is a better place to be.
The Soviet Union has begun planning to deploy new nuclear missiles in East Germany and Czechoslovakia. Today's announcement is the first indication of Soviet measures to counter the proposed deployment of American missiles in Western Europe in a few weeks. Hundreds of anti-nuclear protesters were arrested today in upstate New York. They were scaling a fence at a weapons depot for nuclear missiles. Similar protests were staged outside weapons plants in Massachusetts and South Carolina. A federal judge has thrown out New Jersey's law requiring a minute of silence at the start of each public school day. Though the law does not specify prayer, the judge ruled it has religious overtones and violates the constitutional separation of church and state. Public school teachers in Chicago are voting on a tentative agreement to end their 3-week-old strike. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow Jones averaged down about 7.75 points, volume close to 57 million shares.
We asked hemorrhoid sufferer Janice Michaels, why do you insist on Preparation H?
I've tried other products and always come back to Preparation H. When you find something that you like and that works for you, you don't want to switch.
Doctor-recommended Preparation H often gives temporary relief from pain and itch flare-ups, even helps shrink swelling of inflamed hemorrhoidal tissues.
I am not interested in experimenting anymore. My medicine cabinet only has Preparation H. Preparation H is super.
Preparation H relieves pain and itch, even helps shrink swelling. Use only as directed.
I'm Neil Lomax, quarterback for the St. Louis Cardinals, and we'll be home in Busch Stadium to take on the New York Giants Monday night, October 24th.
That's tonight. And CBS Radio Sports' Jack Buck and Hank Stram will be there for all the play-by-play action and expert analysis. Dick Stockton opens the game, Brent Musburger at halftime. The Giants at St. Louis beginning at 8:50 p.m. Eastern, 7:50 Central, and 5:50 Pacific time tonight on CBS Radio. It's something special.
General Motors Corporation today announced its highest quarterly earnings in the auto giant's 75 years history, $737 million between July and September. That's a 471% increase over the third quarter last year. The Red River in Oklahoma, swollen by 13 inches of rain, began to recede this morning. The river is normally 2 to 3 miles wide. It had reached a depth of 8 miles in spots. No casualties reported. Douglas Edwards, CBS News.